I'd like to welcome everyone back to our service this evening. This month, Lessons from the Courtroom has been very interesting for me. The chapter is Lessons Concerning Believers and Legal Matters, and Brother Brian has done a very good job in bringing me along as far as to some understanding of these verses. Didn't realize it, but you read through the Bible and you study, and it just seems that as you read, the writers intend for you to be able to understand. It's very simple, and I think it's because we are humans that we make things very hard sometimes, and I think that's where I'm at with some of these verses right now. This evening, My topic is, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And this comes from the second part of verse 2. I want to spend just a little time on that, but as I was studying this, and I went back through the topics and what was assigned to everyone, and I didn't really see anything as far as a topic assigned for this verse number 4. And this was an unusual verse for me, especially that part where it says the least esteemed in the church, as it's translated in the King James Version. And I've read through that many times, and I've studied it to some extent, but with what Brian has brought to my attention and being able to find some information, and I don't know whether Brother Brian mentioned this at the beginning of the study, but he had Google searched and had found information. I think Brother Melvin Blaylock had some information, and I found some stuff, and I don't know whether Brian mentioned this on Brother Mike Criswell. He had some information concerning these verses. It was assigned to him, actually, for one of the Missouri Bible studies, so there was some pretty good information in that. But there's good information in the in our Brotherhood's commentary, Contending for the Faith. And Brother Mark Bailey is the one that's responsible for 1 Corinthians. And so with that introduction, I'm going to read these first 11 verses again, because I'm amazed. I've read through this now for the month. I can't tell you how many times. And again, as the Apostle Paul presents this to the Corinthians, the way he questions it, he's, don't you know? Do you not know? And it's things that they should know. And it reminds me of Hebrews chapter 5, where it's talking to the Hebrew children there. It says, at a time when you ought to be teachers, you have to be told again. And I think that's kind of what we're dealing with here. It's they have to be told over. And one of the things I've noticed about our study this month is that we keep going over these things, and it seems like something new just kind of comes out of just a repeating of the information that the Apostle Paul has here for the Corinthians. So I've enjoyed this a lot. I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid I can't do justice, but I'll do what I can. Okay, let's read these 11 verses. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? If the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one, that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother go to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. As Brother Brian pointed out, some of the characteristics of the city of Corinth at that time. Corinth was a very important city. It was located in Roman province of Achaia. It was the southern part of modern-day Greece. It was on a large isthmus about 50 miles west of Athens. It was situated along a major trade route and had a thriving economy. And for this reason, there were large numbers of sailors and merchants that flocked to the city of Corinth. And as Brother Brian pointed out, you might describe these characters as loudmouthed drunks. The location of the city had a lot to do with its character of the Corinthians. The city, populated with Romans and with Jews, grew rapidly because the people came there to work and to trade. And unfortunately, the larger it became, the more wicked it became. As I read through this, I always think of that verse concerning Lot. You know, when he and Abraham separated, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And that's what I think about when I read concerning the city. One of the things in the references, in Linsky's reference, it states that the Temple of Venus in the old city boasted of 1,000 female slaves that were kept and were free to strangers. That blows my mind. 1,000 slaves. The actions were normal. They were normal for those that lived in Corinth. And during the Apostle Paul's stay in Corinth, he wrote the letter of Romans. And within this letter, he obviously spoke of the conditions surrounding him there in Corinth. When he said in Romans 1, and I'm going to read verse 21 through 32 there, he said, "Because although they knew not God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are worshipers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." That's what's going on right now. It's amazing. The example was given that the saints in judging the world, that is, would not be in context as far as what Brother Brian has pointed out, of judging as a judge himself, but would be as in that of the plaintiff or the defendant, as was pointed out clearly this morning. The saints would judge by example, just as it states in Matthew 12 and verse 41 concerning the men of Nineveh. There it says the men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 2, the Apostle Paul is asking the question, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Paul, in saying, do you not know, emphasizes to the Corinthians the fact that saints shall judge the world. This judging refers to the final judgment when Jesus returns, and also to the judging today. The word judge is defined by Thayer as to pronounce an opinion concerning right or wrong. Paul's argument is based on the idea that since Christians are going to have a part in judging the world, then certainly they should be able to judge or determine earthly matters between brethren. The saints will judge in the future the same way that they judge now, and that is by God's word. It was mentioned that Christians are not to expect to be co-rulers with God in heaven. However, they will be present when the world is judged by the Lord. We need to remember that the saints are the ones who live in obedience to God's will while here on this earth, even though at times it may mean suffering. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And John says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. The saints will judge the world in the same way that Timothy spoke of their reigning with Christ. The saints are able to overcome evil in this world by knowing and being obedient to God's will. And in the same way, it is through a knowledge of God's will that the saints will judge and reign in the future. So from the teaching, we see that the matters between the brethren should be decided by other Christians and not by the unjust, as pointed out in verse 1. Paul asks, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And by unworthy, Paul is asking whether Christians are unfit or if they are just not capable. The word matter here differs from the word matter in verse 1. In the first verse, matter is translated from a Greek word meaning a matter of law, a law case, or a lawsuit. In verse 2, the word matter comes from a Greek word meaning least in size or amount or in dignity. It would refer to such as the loss of money or property, personal insult, or injury. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says, the weightiest of earthly questions at issue are infinitely small compared to those to be decided on Judgment Day. Verse 4 was hard for me, and I've read through this, and I tell you, I had a hard time understanding. But in the commentary, Contending for the Faith, that was pointed out, written by Brother Mark Bailey of our brotherhood, he explains it this way. In the first three verses, the Apostle Paul asks three questions to teach that judgments or decisions must be made between Christians to settle personal matters pertaining to this life. The Greek word translating pertaining to this life means relating to the present existence. Paul is not speaking about conflicts relating to religion, but conflicts about earthly matters. Up to this point, Paul has proved that Christians must judge physical matters between brethren on this earth. Now he explains the proper way for the judging to be done. Set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Paul says, since you must decide matters pertaining to this life, personal matters between brethren, are you going to go to the least esteemed to make these decisions? That's his question. Are you going to the least esteemed to make these decisions? The question, who are the least esteemed? The King James Version makes it difficult to understand who the least esteemed are by translating least esteemed in the church. And that's what threw me. I'm thinking the least esteemed in the church are those that are maybe new converts or something like that. Someone that is least esteemed would be of lesser than of greater, maybe. So the translation was very unclear. A clearer translation, as pointed out by Brother Mark Bailey, is given in the Revised Standard Version. It says, "If then you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who are least esteemed by the church?" And the difference in the church and by the church, I think, is the key. Those who are least esteemed are those, according to the American Standard Version, of no account, meaning to despise utterly. So the least esteemed are not members of the church, as understood by the King James Version. They are the unjust that the Apostle Paul talked about in the first verse of 1 Corinthians 6:1. Paul says, "Those in the world have no business judging those who are utterly despised by the church, because Christians are capable of handling the matters themselves." The reason that Christians should not go before those who are not Christians to settle matters between themselves is that unbelievers do not make decisions according to God's law, but instead they make decisions according to man's law. So, concerning matters of this world between brethren, Christ gives three steps to solve problems between brethren, if we would just use them in the brotherhood. Things would be much, much easier, I think. Christ says, step one, go and tell him his fault alone. Step two, if he will not hear, return the next time with one or two witnesses. Step three, if he neglects the second attempt, report it to the church. That sounds so simple. That is so hard sometimes, depending on the situation. These steps are necessary to solve problems between brethren. Brother Mark Bailey goes on to say, "Unfortunately, we often are still faced with the problem of a brother continuing his sins." He uses the example of someone maybe stealing personal property after his sins have been reported to the church. In other words, someone went to an individual, he wouldn't listen. He took one or two witnesses with him, he still wouldn't listen. So he took it before the church, and still he continues in his same actions. So, what are the proper steps to be taken if a sinful brother continues his evil acts after a problem has been dealt with by the church? Jesus answers by saying, "But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." Matthew 18, verse 17. So if he won't respond to the church, he is to be treated as a heathen man or a publican. There's going to be a sermon soon concerning whether or not it's okay to take someone outside the church or an unbeliever to law. And most of these questions that are being asked, we already know the answers to. We know the answers. What strikes me, though, if an individual will not listen and respond, after you go to him, take a witness of one or two, take it before the church, if he is to be treated as a heathen man or a publican, I think he falls right over here in this group of the unbelievers at some point when it comes to lawsuits and things. I'm not sure. We'll find out whoever has that lesson. But that's my perception of what is being said. So in closing, I think Brother Brian said it best this morning. The world is going to do what the world is going to do. It's important that the church separate itself from the world and not get caught up in the things of the world. the very, very best that this world has to offer. I want you to think about this. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. If there is anyone that's subject to the gospel call, let them come while we stand and sing.